I have a good friend of mine who is a passionate supporter of Swansea City. Steve was a huge fan of Roberto Martinez when Martinez took over as the Swansea City manager in 2007. And I work with Steve every day, and a lot of our conversation was given over, thought unnecessarily, to Swansea City. But when a couple of years later, rumours began to circulate that Martinez might move from Swansea, Steve denied them vigorously. No, he said, he is a loyal Swan, true to Swansea City. He loves the club and he will be loyal to it. And in 2009, Martinez left to become the manager of Wigan. One mark that our society has become more focused on individuals, more selfish if you like, is the collapse of the idea of loyalty. Footballers and managers make calculations mostly based on money, like everyone else. Gone are the days of local boys playing out their careers for local teams proud of their loyalty. But it's not just the highly paid stars of the Premier League. Companies no longer value or care for local for loyal employees. What does a zero-hour contract say about your boss's loyalty? Staff are disposable items. In relationships, happiness trumps loyalty all day long. I've got to do what's right for me, after all. Loyalty in marriage may well be the last bastion, and already much of that idea, even there, has been washed away. We live in a culture virtually bereft of loyalty. Today we remember, and for us, remembrance is an act of loyalty. Loyalty to the sacrifice made on our behalf. Loyalty to those who suffered and continue to suffer. Loyalty to those who are willing to risk everything for us. We focus, of course, on those who serve or served in the armed forces. And in the last few months, we at MAC have had particular cause to remember our servicemen and women. I'm thinking of Reg Tetstall. Reg, as gentle a man as you would ever meet. A scholar, cultured and full of grace. Yet, in his country's time of need, Reg served in North Africa, in Egypt, in Palestine, in Cyprus and Greece. And his scholarly skills were much appreciated by military intelligence, who trained Reg for a role in Greece. Reg earned his wings as a parachutist. That's part of the Pegasus Memorial on the screen to the Parachute Regiment. And only the very best earned their wings in the airborne service. In Reg's last few days, we often used to talk about parachuting. My son was in the Parachute Regiment. And I said to Reg one day, I said, what happens if you didn't jump? As my son was describing how you lined up at the door and actually of the aircraft, you didn't actually get a choice to jump. The sergeant just threw you out. And Reg said, look, he said, if you didn't jump, you were returned to your unit. Only the best earned their wings. And alongside Reg, we remember too Paul Hill. From 1975, 12 years a para, serving with the regiment on the streets of Northern Ireland. Tough gig. And I'm sure both Paul and Reg would testify to the central role of loyalty in binding together comrades facing the terrors of combat. I saw a little bit of this through David, who served in the Parachute Regiment, or the regiment, as they call it in the paras, acknowledging no others. And also in contrast to their great rivals, the Royal Marines. The Marines are, of course, are an ancient fighting force with nearly 500 years of history behind them, whereas the Parachute Regiment were formed only in the Second World War when an airborne forces became a possibility. And the intensity of regimental loyalty is one of the key aspects of the effectiveness of the British Army. It relies on the loyalty between comrades. wonderfully reflected, I thought, in the number of former comrades who came to say goodbye to Paul just recently. Their tears at the service, tough, hard men crying, a testimony to a bond created more than 30 years ago and holding fast over decades. Now, this tribal loyalty, for it's almost that, is not without its own problems. Sometimes paras and marines have to serve together. David joined SFSG, the Special Forces Support Group, made up of marines and mostly one para, of which he was a member, and that was a potent mix of loyalties. At the very first welcome session for the new paras arriving, the commanding officer gathered them together to deliver a stirring call to unity, to set aside their traditional differences with the Marines and unite in the common purpose of their new joint unit, which all went very well, to the point where in a moment's silence, very clearly from the back, one of the paras coughed, "The regiment!" to the utter but unexplicable delight of all the paras in the room. We are not asked to undergo the trials or take the risks that were required of Reg or Paul or the paras and marines of the SFSG. And I, for one, am very grateful for that. Our loyalty is to remember them, to remember Reg, to remember Paul, and millions of others, soldiers, sailors, pilots, and support staff who served and continue to serve on our behalf. And not just them. Peter made reference to the bombs falling on Cardiff, and on Monday we were thinking about the bombs falling in Grangetown. Or indeed the casualties of the bombing from Mackintosh Church. Millions died, millions of civilians died in the world wars. And who can today number the Iraqi civilians killed since the war to depose Saddam? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands. And closer to home, we don't forget either the civilian casualties in Northern Ireland. On the 30th of January 1972, at a civil rights march in Londonderry, soldiers from the parachute regiment shot 26 innocent civilians, killing 13 of them outright. The story is a complex one, and it took nearly 40 years for a full report to be published. But undoubtedly, soldiers that day shot unarmed civilians. And undoubtedly, the intense loyalty within the regiment meant that officers defended some of their men when what they had done was indefensible. They lied out of loyalty. And so I understand why some people have problems wearing the poppy. I do. Every army in history is guilty of acts of terrible violence. That is inherent in what an army is for. And as a nation with 1,000 years and more of military history, we have more than our fair share of innocent blood on our hands as a nation. But we're not so naive as to think that any military action can be conducted like a village cricket match. No. We are called to loyalty, but our loyalty is not to every political policy that issues in military action, or even to every campaign undertaken by our armed forces. Our remembrance is loyalty, but that loyalty is not blind. The poppy for me is a tragic symbol, not a triumphant one. We recognize that at the heart of war and conflict is an inevitable dehumanizing of the other that serves to justify our violence. A clear division between them and us that makes it easier to kill, easier to separate them and us, easier to justify our violence. Saddam and his weapons of mass destruction, the barbarity of ISIS, the ravages of the Hun, if you go back to 1914, and every Northern Irish civil rights protester, an armed provost. And of course, in any one of those claims, there may be substantial truths. The Second World War was fought and won to defeat a violent and evil fascism. ISIS do use terror as a weapon against the West in most brutal forms. And so here we reach into the heart of the real challenge of remembrance. Christian understandings of loyalty deny the demonizing of our enemies. Christian loyalty is defined through the lens of forgiveness. Stephen, the first martyr, his story is found in the book of Acts. While they were stoning him, Stephen was stoned to death because of his proclamation of Jesus Christ, which was perceived as blasphemy. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen is being stoned to death, yet he forgives those who stone him. And maybe we might remember, you know, the words of Jesus. Those who are without sin cast the first stone. Did any of those people that day? Could any of them say, yeah, I'm without sin. Give me a stone. Give me a rock to throw. Why would Stephen pray for those people? What would motivate that remarkable statement? Well, Stephen is enacting a higher sense of loyalty than us against them. His first loyalty is to forgiveness in Jesus. And the words of Acts, I don't know if you noticed, dramatically underplay the scene. Stephen's faith, crystallized in forgiveness, introduces the theme of peace, which is bizarrely at odds with what is happening. Luke tells us of Stephen, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. There are few more brutal images of violence than being battered and broken by public stoning. Rembrandt's picture captures the split second before we would have to turn away our heads in shock and horror. The moment before his body is smashed to pieces by the stones. But Luke wants us to see the bigger picture. Stephen's loyalty to Jesus as a means of peace, unbroken by the terrible violence of the stones raining down on him. It is the triumph of forgiveness over violence. The same triumph we enacted this morning in the breaking of the bread. Our communion reminds us of sacrifice that takes violence and hate and returns mercy and peace. We remember forgiveness from the cross. Is there anything harder than that? Anything deeper or more worthy of our loyalty this morning than our loyalty to the sacrifice of Jesus? We wear the poppy or not today, that's a choice we make. But as Christians, we take communion week by week because we need the strength to answer the daily call of loyalty to Jesus. Loyalty to forgiveness, loyalty to mercy, loyalty to peace. The cost of our redemption, the cross of our redemption, makes our loyalty not just a somber moment of reflection, it certainly is that, but also it points to joy. It points to blessing and opportunity to praise God, even as we mourn the sacrifice of our Savior. Let us be loyal to the memory of all the servicemen and women, to all the civilian casualties. But most of all, let us be loyal to Jesus. Shall we pray? Lord, help us to remember and appreciate those whose service means that we enjoy the freedoms of our nation. We easily forget the great gift that they gave us through their sacrifice. We remember too civilians around the world caught up in conflict, those who said goodbye to sons and brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers, never to see them again. We remember their sacrifice before you. Help us, Lord, to be loyal people, loyal to them, loyal to their memories, but most of all, to be loyal to you, to be loyal to the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ that has saved us and redeemed us, and that redemption in his blood on the cross. Help us in our lives to be loyal to mercy, loyal to forgiveness, and loyal to peace. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.